Hello, and welcome to the Pest Control Marketing Podcast with your host, me, Hal Coleman, uncensored and unplugged. Pay attention, take lots of notes, because you're going to find out exactly how to get more new customers, more referrals, and grow your business. Well, hello, this is Hal Coleman with another episode of the Pest Control Marketing Podcast, uncensored and unplugged. Today, I really have a treat for you. The topic, I think, is going to interest you very much, especially if you're a small one- and two-man operator or a little larger, and that is hiring, especially hiring your first employee. And I have one of the absolute best authorities on that subject here with me today, Jeff Annis, the president and owner of Advanced Services in Augusta, Georgia. Jeff, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me. There's something that I'm passionate about, and that is seeing these one- and two-man operators be successful and grow and grow and grow.
Well, we're going to tell them how to do that today. We're going to have some fun, and tell them a little bit about your business. You have grown and grown and grown, so give us a little history of Jeff Aniston Advanced Services.
Well, I'm like a lot of people. My mom and dad were pest control operators, and then in 1954, they started their company, Annis Pest Control. And they grew that until 1974. My father abruptly passed away at the age of 53. And my mom ran the company for another 10 or 11 years. And in 1985, she sold the company to people from Atlanta and worked with them for about a year. And then I went to work for Advanced Services, which was the first time I went to work with them. It was basically as a full-time employee for a part-time pest control company. One of my former teammates at Annis Pest Control, Frank Damiano, had started a little side business called Advanced Services. And when I was available to work, he said, come on with me and we'll work things out. And over the years, I purchased him out and became the sole owner back in the mid-90s. But how we started off as the number 75 company in a marketplace slap full of pest control companies. And we grew that thing and grew that thing, and now we've got about 47 people, and we're creeping up on $5 million a year in annual revenue, and about 80-plus percent of that is recurring revenue because we sell mainly services that we get to go back and do over and over and over. So that's what we built up over the last 29 years.
So 47 employees. I bet you remember your first employee, don't you?
I remember every single detail of the first, second, third, fourth, fifth on up.
Was your first one a winner or a loser?
Lucky for me, it was a winner. I was lucky to be able to find someone that was within my network of friends, and he only needed 3 full days a week. And about the time I had slap filled up my day with recurring revenue customers, he came along and he said, I'd love to learn how to do this. And, you know, for the next 4 or 5 semesters, I'll be able to work 3 days a week. About the time that petered out, someone else came along, wanted to come into the company, and he was going to work 5 days a week. And so I was able to hire that guy. And then one of the old Annis Pest Control employees from 10 years earlier crept in and said, hey, I want to work for your up and starting company. So I was able to get a real professional in there. And the next thing you know, we're up and running, and I had a little software program, and we were busy working.
Well, you know, my first employee was not a winner. It was a nightmare. And this guy had worked for another pest control company and came to me and heard I was looking for somebody. And he seemed like a nice guy. And I called his former employer and asked him about him. And he said good things about him. He said, yeah, he's a good guy. He'll make a good technician for you. Well, that turned out to not be true. And for a year, I struggled with this guy before I was able to replace him. But I spoke with that former employer after that, and I said, you know, when I asked you about him, why didn't you tell me the truth? Why didn't you tell me that this guy was scatterbrained and couldn't keep up with the accounts? He said, well, you know, I didn't want to say anything bad about him or anything. And I really got upset with the guy because I said, you know, you really threw me in the creek because I invested in this guy, and I've gone through an entire year. I've lost customers because of this guy, and I'm right back where I started now. I need somebody. It was a long, rough road with my first employee.
Well, one thing I would tell you is that it's really a tough situation. You have to check every kind of reference that they have. If they put their name down there to call this person, you got to call them. And you got to check them out as good as you can. And you did that, and you just you got some bad luck there, really. But most people that struggle basically aim low and pick poorly. And I've talked to people that have said, well, I give anybody a chance. And, you know, typically when somebody tells me that, that means that they feel about their own company that they don't deserve a great person in the company. And to me, people need to want to work for your company, even if they're only going to be your second employee or third or fourth employee. To be on your team, they need to want to be on your team. And early on, I will admonish you all out there. Know why it's fun and not boring and interesting to be on your team. They're choosing you, Hal. They're choosing your company to work for.
And so, they have to know that it's a team. I mean, that there is organization and that there is going to be solid ground to stand on when they go to work for you. You know, we make the mistake of being quick to hire and slow to fire. And we wake up one day, we realize, oh, I need somebody. I need somebody now. I can't do this any longer. We need somebody, and we're in a desperate panic, so we hire somebody that we hear about or that applies to work for us, and we really just jump into this first employee too quickly. A lot of times that's a really bad mistake.
It is, Hal, and I'll tell you, you have to invoke the four-step process when you're going to get your first or your second guy. And it's really a simple process. It's strategy, execution, people, and cash. So the strategy is that you need to sit there with a pencil and piece of paper and look at how much recurring revenue or how much work, dollars worth of work, you can have this person go do, and make sure that that's going to throw off enough money, that's the cash part, to make sure that you can stay in business while you go build the next route, whether it's first tech to second tech or second tech to third tech. The execution of this is you have to be able to execute on training this first and second and third technician up to the standards that you need them to bring to the table for the benefit of your customer. And so the people part, Hal, is critical because that first, second, and third technician is going to make or break your reputation in your community with those people that buy from you. You need to make sure that you've got someone that is really good at engaging customers. But Hal, on the whole scale of introvert all the way over to extrovert, we don't want the biggest extrovert you ever met, and we don't want a big introvert. The introvert doesn't engage enough humanly and isn't out there enough projecting and welcoming and eye contact and grinning and smiling and being friendly. The all the way extrovert, that's all they are. They're the ones that we elect, we pick them, we give them promotions, we buy cars from them, but they don't give
a lot
great
of flashlights because they lose a lot of them.
They lose a lot of flashlights. So on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being a complete introvert and 10 being a complete extrovert, look for a 6.5 because they are studious enough to get the job done and have a servant's heart for your customers. But they're engaging enough, they're extroverted enough to make eye contact and want to shake hands and don't mind handing somebody a business card as they need to do as they grow that route and sell more to the route that they've already got.
Yeah, you know, one thing that we have this natural inclination, when we're one-man operators, and this is our baby, and we've built this thing, and now we're going to turn all these customers over to somebody, we have a general tendency to want to hire somebody that's going to do it exactly the way we do it. And there are a lot of different ways to kill a cockroach. And so it's important that we understand, I think, that, and this is a big issue, this control issue. And I've heard Dan Kennedy say many times before that good enough is good enough. What is good enough for you? And if you're looking for somebody that's going to be exactly a mirror image of you, it's going to be hard to find. So I would say that good enough would probably be to start with honest, and they can make your customers happy and they can make you money. And if they can do that, they may not have the exact same personality that you have. They may like, if red's your favorite color, blue might be their favorite color. But if they can make your customers happy and make you money and they're honest, that's probably good enough. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I agree with that 100%. To find out, though, is the key. So one of the things we like to do is we have about a 10 to 15 bullet points that we do. And we talk to people. It's kind of a list of questions that you want to go through when you're getting to know them to find out if they're really even qualified to be on your team. You know, so 10 to 15 questions there. And then if they make it through the interview process and you've talked to all the references and you still like them, we like to spend about a week with them as a provisional job offer. They're not even hired yet, Hal. And so, we have to let our insurance companies know that we've got a non-employee in the vehicle. But we spend 5, 8-hour, 9-hour days with this person, whether it's a clerical role or whether it's a sales role or a technician role or any role. We make sure that we know them inside and out before we make that final job offer, because we want them to experience the good, the bad, and the ugly of the position that they're trying to obtain. We tell them up front that there's pretty much two temperatures in the pest control business. It's either 100 degrees or zero. It's either such bright sun that you can't see, or it's cloudy, dark, and raining. We tell them they're either in an attic, or they're in a basement, or they're in a crawl space. We tell them and show them how hard the work is so that they don't get 3 months into the job, and we've spent a month or 6 weeks of intense training on them, and then they say, this isn't for me.
Yeah, you got to paint that picture. And also, I think it's important that you paint the picture of a bright future, a seductive, hypnotic picture of a place where they can come and go to work for you, and maybe this would be the last place they ever work, because they can move up and there will be a future there, an advancement. They can make more money. They can take on more responsibilities. And you don't want to just hire somebody who's going to be content to be making $11.32 an hour for the rest of their life, would you say?
No, you're right. And I'm going to tell you this. There's one thing that the giant companies cannot do that you can do as a smaller operator, and this even works for my company, is that they want to work for a family feel company. And that's why even my company with 47 people, my biggest team has 7 people, because you're a member of a team. My company is a team of teams. So when you go to work for a company with 1 or 2 or 3 people, you're an integral part of that success, and it's a lot more fun to be 1 of 4 or 1 of 5 or 1 of 2 than to be 1 of 5,000 or 12,000 or 1,400 people. Who wants to feel like they're just a little notch on the gear? Nobody wants to feel like that. So I like to say that the smaller companies really get the best people, because they're the ones that can give that family feel and give that full engagement opportunity so that people know they can learn and grow with the company from a ground floor.
I had an employee once who came to work for me, and he had worked for one of the, I won't mention the name, but the second largest, I guess, maybe it was the largest pest control company in the world, and who was known for high employee turnover and a lot of stress and nose to the grindstone, meet the numbers or you're gone, period. And he had spent several years there, and he came to work for me, and he said, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night and pinch myself to make sure that working for you is not a dream, because he said it's so different than that large corporate environment. He said, I'm here. I feel like I'm at home. And there, you have to be careful of that, though,
yep,
because some people like to sleep late at home and you know, watch the ball games at home. So you have to have a serious a serious business mindset and structure and systems.
Well, and let me tell you this, though, and you need to never lose this, though, even if you do grow your company to 45 or 50 people or 1,500 people, is that you have to have the same one-on-one care for that teammate that you did when it was just you and him. And so what happens at our place is that someone has to go spend 6 weeks in, you know, the backwoods of Virginia because their mother is in the final stages of cancer. And everybody knows that 99 companies out of 100, if he left to do that when he came back, there'd be no job. Well, what we do is we make it to where we treat them like everybody else would, and that is, hey, you go off and do your job for 6 weeks. Your job right now is to be the son to that mother that's passing away from cancer. So you go off and do that, and then when you get back, you're going to have a job. And the guy goes, really? And of course, really, because you know what? And at the time this exact case happened, we had about 30 people working there then. And the way that they saw us treat him meant something to them. And even if we had 1,500 employees, we would still have the same policy, which is there's almost no conditions that could take place that would eliminate that job because he was doing something he had to do and needed to do for his family. And that's what gets lost with these mega companies. And we'll never lose that.
Let me play the devil's advocate here.
Okay.
Now, suppose you give this person 6 weeks off to go and be with his mother who's dying of cancer. And you've got another employee who says, well, that person got 6 weeks off. I should get 6 weeks off to go take care of my hangnail that's been bothering me for a week here, or my paper cut. So how do you deal with that? Are you libeling yourself when you give that person 6 weeks off?
No, we're not libeling ourselves at all because we are expert human resources people in my company, and we know what we can do and what we can't do and what we have to do and what we don't have to do. And so we have the ability to discern. We have discernment.
Discernment. Okay.
Yes, we have. God gave us discernment.
Discernment.
And lots and lots of training. But I'm going to tell you what my employment lawyer told me. He said, if you do the 100% right thing every single time, you're going to be fine. And so we do the 100% right thing every time.
A lot of people think that there has to be all this equality among your employees. There doesn't necessarily have to be equality, does there? Do you have to treat every employee the same?
No, you treat everyone completely, 100% fairly, with respect, based on their situation. That's what you've got to do. And nobody, none of my 47 people are the same. But when it comes time to decide, is getting the route done, you know, more important, getting the numbers done right now more important than the long-term situation of having this great person on your team? The answer is really simple. You're going to make sure that you keep this great person on your team for years and years to come. I can figure out how to get the route done. I can run a day late on the entire company's route, and I'll still survive. If I start treating people like a number, then there's no point in working for my company.
Yeah, I heard Jimmy Johnson, you know, the legendary football coach and announcer, he said once that if Lawrence Taylor falls asleep in a team meeting, I have an assistant coach go stand beside him and make sure he doesn't fall out of his chair and hurt himself. He said if a second string lineman who missed two tackles last week falls asleep in a team meeting, he wakes up traded to Baltimore.
So. That's true. But that's also, I want to tell you this about it. People say, well, what if this person does this and this person does that? I don't actually have anybody on my team that would ever try to take advantage of that they are the best guy. I have a guy working for me that has sold, you know, literally millions of dollars in services for my company. And that guy knows that he has all the same culture and value rules with our company, and he has the same vision as we do.
He knows he has to have that, and he knows that because of his position in the company, he is more likely to be the guy that stands up for the way we do things around here than anybody else. So, I don't have anybody that's a taker. When we hire people with servant hearts and people that want to give before they get. And that's how you find out about your guy, especially that first, second, third employee. My fifth hire turned out to be a workers' comp cheater, professional workman's comp cheater. And he faked an accident and even was able to get on 440 weeks of disability at the maximum rate, which was the biggest that they could do in Georgia. And it turned out that he got found out later on, but can you imagine, the kinds of little things that can happen that can taint your view of the future. As a business owner, and most of you I'm talking to are owners, you can't let one bad thing, one bad hire, one bad customer experience make it where you hurt or change your approach and your perspective on business going forward. You have to just learn from everything and keep moving.
Very, very good point. Well, listen, we're going to be running out of time here soon. So I'm a one-man operator. I'm stressed. I'm working 6.5 days a week. I'm not getting my paperwork done until 11 o'clock at night. I've got to have some help. I need an employee. Right now, I don't know where to turn, but I know I need somebody. Tell me what to do.
Start with your own network. I would let every customer know that I'm looking for a good guy to hire as my first or second employee, and I call them teammates. Let everybody know. Every circle that I operate in, the pool hall where I go to, the church where I go to, my Sunday school class, my civic club, my chamber of commerce, I work within my circle and my network so that it makes it where the person that comes in to get with me about getting a job is someone that already knows about what my values are, and make it where it can happen to where things are going to work in the future and it'll be longevity.
So should I take precautions to or make plans to have that employee ready to hire long before I need them? Should I start thinking about this early on, or should I just wait until I need one and start thinking about it? We know the answer to that, but
yeah, just it's you are from the moment that you start your company. The first day you start your company, you need to be looking for your first employee so that when the time comes, you've got five people to choose from, because only three of those will be available and only one of those will work out. And then you got to be ready to replace them, because they might work out for 3 months and then have to go for some reason. So you have to be ready at any time to add that extra person to your staff. So recruiting never stops. I'm not kidding you when I tell you this. At my company, there are two people that all they do all day, every day, is they're either recruiting or onboarding or initially training somebody. That's good, all good they're
totally,
doing.
Totally agree, yeah. So, final word for me, the one-man operator, because a lot of this applies even if you're a two-man operator, but give me your final sage advice for me if I'm a one-man operator thinking about hiring my first employee.
Be very, very in tune with how great it's going to be and why it's going to be great to work on your team. How well you treat your customers, how fast you're going to grow the company. Stay super tuned in to what your vision and values are as a company, so that you're only bringing in people that share your vision and join in with your values and that can follow all your ways of doing things to make your company great, to give you and everyone that comes to work for the company the best possible future. Really focus on those things. And get square with the paperwork and get square with the accounting and the business end. You're not going to be happy if you grow to three people and you're losing money. And you don't know where it's coming in, but it's going out just as fast. That's not going to be helpful. So you need to get tuned in with your business side, too.
You have to know your numbers. I mean, it can't be like in a basketball game or a football game where the game is halfway over and there's no scoreboard. Nobody knows what the score is. So you don't know whether you need to really bear down and give it all you've got, or whether you can sit back and coast and relax because you have a comfortable lead. If you don't know your numbers, and I talk to small pest control operators all the time who don't know their numbers. I said, well, where are you today at the same place last year? What percentage up or down are you? They don't know. I said, how much did your employee do yesterday? What was his total production? They don't know. How much do you want you're going to hire your first employee. How much business are you going to take and give them and send them out there? How much product? They don't know. So if you don't know your numbers, you simply can't understand where you stand in the game.
That's so true, Hal. Everybody has to have a number. So when that technician, even if it's your first one, when he leaves the office in the morning or leaves the Waffle House that y'all meet at every morning at 7 a.m., he needs to know that I'm bringing back $400 or $600 or $300 worth of production today. That way he knows what's expected of him, and you need to know how much money's coming in so that you can plan your cash flow, because cash is king, and it's what keeps the bills paid and keeps everybody's paycheck coming. So it's not optional. You have to know the numbers.
Now, you, of course, we could go on and on and on about this. I could talk about it all day. It's just what I do, and it's what you do too. But since we don't have that kind of time, you and I are going to put together a one-day event, aren't we?
That's right. We're going to do a one-day event for the one and two people max company, and we're going to put on that event at Camp Bug Stopper, which is my brand that I've developed to help pest control operators of all sizes in Augusta, Georgia. We have a classroom, and we have every experience that you need to ever gain right there in my company. But Camp Bug Stopper is going to host this event with you and me. I'm going to do the operations side. You're going to do the sales and marketing side. We're going to talk about graphics. We're going to talk about websites and how to get a jump on your competition so your business will grow. It's going to be 9 intense hours, including lunch. And what you need to do is email me, bugbiz@bugstopper.com. Bugbiz, B-I-Z, at bugstopper.com, or call me 706-373-9157. Give me a call. And if you forget that, you've got Hal's email, ask Hal my cell phone number. You can have that. Text me or call me. But it's going to be a great event to get you postured so that you can grow. It's going to teach you how to get on the right mission statement to grow the muscles, to grow your company profitably, so that you'll make the future that you want for yourself.
And you also have some free information you can send them, some forms and things, don't you?
If you want to get my pre-interview checklist and my interview questions that I use, just send me an email and I'll click and send right back to you so that you'll have some good interview questions and some good pre-interview letters and resources like that. And also check us out on Facebook at Camp Bug Stopper. And check us out on the web at www.campbugstopper.com.
Jeff, this has been great. And hey, if you're serious about growing your business, you can call me at 770-993-0004 or email me at hal@halcoleman.com. I'd like to treat you to a free one-hour coaching session with me on how to grow your business. It won't cost you one single penny, and I guarantee you'll come away from the session or the call with some great insights on how to grow your business. So, Jeff, this has been great. I can't wait to talk with you more about our event. Folks, stay tuned to that. Jeff, thanks for being a part of this podcast today.
It was fun being with y'all, Hal.
And, folks, I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope it was helpful. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Pest Control Marketing Podcast. Until then, this is Hal Coleman. I hope you have a great day.